Let's look at a verse in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. Isaiah 45. It's important to know God's purposes if we're going to do His will. We can never do the will of the Lord if we do not know what He wants us to do. So when it comes to the earth as a whole, God has had a purpose in creating it to begin with, and that purpose will be worked out. And Isaiah 45 is a verse that comes to mind in verse 18 that brings that out very clearly. For thus saith the Lord God that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. Now, God is not only saying He's the creator here, but He's got something to say about that creation. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. That is, He didn't create it without a purpose. He formed it to be inhabited. Now He says, I'm the Lord, and there's nothing else. In other words, I am the Lord, and I'm going to do it. And there's nobody else that can do it. And actually, He doesn't need anybody to help. He is sovereign in His purposes. Whatever He purposes to do, He's going to do. So He's purposed the earth. He formed it. He made it. He created it all. And He had a purpose. He established it. He created it not in vain, but He formed it to be inhabited. The earth will be inhabited forever. And God's purpose will be accomplished. Now, you see this very clearly. Let's go back in Genesis chapter 2. This morning I spoke earlier on the garden that God planted in Eden. And in Genesis chapter number 2, we're going to see after He formed the man in verse number 7, immediately He gives us the purpose. He established it not in vain. He established it to be inhabited. And so he planted a garden. He formed the man in verse number 7. This is as creator, but He does exactly the same thing as redeemer. Because, of course, we know that God's original purpose for in Adam failed. But what He lost in Adam, He's going to restore in Christ. So what you've got in His purposes in the first Adam that failed, you've got the same purposes in the last Adam, Christ, and it will not fail. So the Lord God formed the man, complete, body, soul, and spirit, in verse 7. And He planted a garden in verse 8, eastward in Eden. He put the man in that garden. The garden here could look sort of be a picture of the whole earth. And He put the man in the garden, and He made trees and fruit to grow. He watered it. And we read in verse number 15 that He put the man in there to dress it and to keep it. Now what God did to begin with was great. The problem is in verse 15. Man did not dress that garden. Adam did not keep that garden. Adam failed, and we know the sad story. Now this morning I mentioned 13 times in the first 3 chapters of Genesis we have a garden mentioned. And 13 times in Revelation chapter 21 and 22 we have a city mentioned. And there's a lot in common. The Bible starts and ends on the same note. But there's a big gap in between the big Genesis 1, 2, and 3 and Revelation 21 and 22. There's a big gap in between. And that big gap is the history of man's terrible fall in the garden and the sinfulness of mankind. All through those 6,000 years from that garden to the city. Now, we looked this morning at the garden as several pictures of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse number 9, the Corinthian assembly was likened to a garden. Paul says, I planted it, Apollos come along and watered it, but it was really God that gave the increase. So, an assembly is like a garden. Ye are God's husbandry, tillage. Then we looked in the Song of Solomon at a Shulamite girl who is called the garden, and we looked at that. So a garden is used to begin with, and a garden really is used to end with, but it's in the form of a city, because the garden there and the city have so much in common. So it's the assembly is likened to a garden. The believer is likened to a garden, and Israel is likened to a garden. Isaiah 5 and verse 1, God speaks about planting a vineyard, a garden, and also, especially in the parables, many of the parables speak of Israel as a vineyard, a garden. And so you see, you've got a garden all through. Christ in John chapter 19 and verse 41, it says, the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. That was the place he was buried to, in a garden. You got the Garden of Gethsemane. You got a lot of gardens in the Bible. But this morning we want to look a little bit and compare the end of the Bible with the beginning. So in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, we can read in verse number 8, that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, God was there in that garden. There was an uninterrupted fellowship between the man and God until man sinned. God was there in his full presence with Adam and Eve in the garden. He not only planted that garden and caused that garden to grow, and he not only watered that garden, but he was in that garden with Adam and Eve. His presence was there. Now, the Lord's presence is everywhere, but we mustn't think it's everywhere at the same time and the same degree. There were times when the presence of the Lord was so great in the tabernacle they couldn't go in there. And in the temple, Solomon couldn't go in there. And there were other times in the time of Eli, the glory of the Lord departed from the temple, and his daughter-in-law named a child Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. So there's a difference between the presence of the Lord in a place in a real way, or just his presence is everywhere at the same time. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and went into the land of Nod. How could he go out of the presence of the Lord? The presence of the Lord was in the land of Nod too. It meant that Cain was no longer in communication with the Lord. He turned his back on the Lord and he went away from the presence of the Lord. Sure, the presence of the Lord was out there, but Cain was not in the presence of the Lord. We read about Jonah, who had a contact with the Lord and communicated with the Lord and talked with the Lord. And the Lord said, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach judgment in 40 days. The Bible says he took a ship and paid the fare, and it says he went out from the presence of the Lord. So you see, we mustn't think because the presence of the Lord is everywhere, and it is, that it's everywhere in the same, that we are in that presence all the time. We can be in and out of the presence of the Lord. But the point I want to make is this, that God's intention, his purpose for earth was to make the man on the earth, to give him dominion over all the earth, and to dress and care for that garden and keep it. And God intended to be there with the man all the time. His presence there all the time. Walk with him, talk with him, and communicate with him. Even after Adam sinned, the presence of the Lord was there, but in a different way. So God visited Adam after he sinned. He says, where art thou? They talked, but it was not what you'd call fellowship with the Lord, because Adam had sinned. He said, I heard thy voice, I was afraid, I was naked, I was afraid. That's not the idea of enjoying the presence of the Lord. So he lost communication with the Lord. But however, Adam was there. Now, if you look with in Genesis, in Exodus, get it here straight after a while, in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation, chapter 21, and verse number 3. This is talking about the holy city in verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, the person of God, is with men. That's where it was to start with. But it left that garden, and it left that place where it started for 6,000 years. But it's back here again in Revelation 21 in verse 3. It's back there again. The tabernacle of God is back there. Now the same word, tabernacle of God, in John chapter 1 and verse 14, where it says, the Word that was with God in the beginning, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the same word, tabernacled among us. When Jesus was born, before he was born, it was fulfillment of Isaiah, that a son would come forth and they'd call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God tabernacled with men before the fall in the Garden of Eden. Now God's presence was in there, still there, but man wasn't there. He drove man out of his presence and closed off the garden. So man lost the presence of God after he had sinned. Jesus came to earth, and again, God is tabernacling among us for 33 years. The tabernacle of God was with men. God was manifest in the flesh, we read in 1 Timothy 3 and 16. But then he left and he went back to heaven. But in Revelation chapter 21, the tabernacle of God is with men again. And when he comes back in Revelation 21, he'll never going to leave again. So you can see how there's a similarity between the first beginning three chapters of the Bible and the last part of the Bible. Now, in the Genesis chapter 1, Adam was there. Prior to his sin, Adam was there. He was sinless. He had not committed one sin. He was not perfect in the sense that he was impeccable and he could sin, but he was sinless. He was made in the image and the likeness of God. He was absolutely righteous. He was a three-part being like God, and he was made, and prior to his fall, he was absolutely sinless. Now, the last Adam in Revelation chapter 21, we can see several places here. We can see Adam, we can see Christ there. In chapter 21 and verse 22, I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. Verse 23, the Lamb is the light thereof. You got the Lamb all through here. The first Adam was with God in the beginning, prior to his sin and being driven out of the garden. The last Adam is going to be with God in that holy city, and he's going to be there forever. Now, the first Adam was sinless in that he had not sinned until the point that he did sin. The garden wasn't protected from sin entering into it. But the last garden, the last city is, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27 says there's nothing going to enter that city that defiles it or worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you can see how the seed part of the Bible, Genesis, is the full development of it in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. In between, there's a lot of disaster and a lot of problems in between for 6,000 long years. But then, of course, finally, God's purpose for which he made the earth and made man will be accomplished. Now, let's look at another thing. In the Garden of Eden, in chapter 2 of Genesis, There was a tree called the Tree of Life. And in that tree, to eat of that tree, had Adam ate of that tree, he would have lived forever. He would have been living today. And there's no indication that he ever would have sinned after that. Adam had one choice, to eat or not eat. Had he ate of the tree of life, he would never ate of the tree of good and knowledge. But his decision was to eat of the wrong tree. And God said, lest he should now eat of the tree of life, I can't allow him to do that because he'll live in a state of sin and perishing and death forever and ever. Because eating of the wrong tree brought him into the wrong state with God. It brought him into a sinful state. So he says he didn't allow him to eat of the tree of life after he sinned. So we read in Genesis 3 in verse number 21 and 22, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden and did not allow him in. Now, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 1, we've got the tree of life back again. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. There 12 manner of fruit, yielding of fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. The tree of life was there. We don't read any more about the tree of life until we get to Revelation chapter 22. Now it's mentioned in the book of Proverbs, but it's not the actual tree of life that's in view. It's only the tree of life in a figurative sense. The actual tree of life in the Garden of Eden is only brought back in Revelation chapter 22. See, what God started in Genesis, he's finishing in the last two chapters of the Bible. In that tree of life, it's said here in chapter 22 that tree of life is for the healing, the health of the nations. It would seem that the Gentile nations of chapter 21 and verse 24, the nations of them which are saved, during the millennial kingdom, they're still in their natural bodies, but we're never told that they are translated in a moment, the twinkle of an eye, that their mortal bodies put on an immortal body. We're never told that. It seems that they're going to eat of the tree of life and live forever. But since they're saved, they're going to live forever. And the tree of life is going to be for the healing of those nations. Now, back in the Garden of Eden after Adam's sin, what do we read? In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hath eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cursed is the ground. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, there shall be no more curse. Curse removed. See, there's a lot of things changed. But what God began to do in the Garden of Eden, sin come in and corrupted it a bit, God is going to do in the future. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and 24, God had in mind a helper for Eve, for Adam rather, Eve. So he took the man, put him to sleep, and from his side he made Eve. Brought Eve to Adam in verse 22 and 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, but she was taken out of man. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, there's a bride and a groom, a husband and a wife in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. God intended for Adam and Eve to have dominion over the whole earth. It was Adam and Eve that he placed in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And God intended for them to have the dominion over the earth. The woman was the complement, the completion, the fulfillment of Adam. She was made as a help meet, somebody to be his, shall we say, assistant. They were to rule it together. Adam was to have dominion over all the earth. So in the book of Revelation, all through the book, but especially in 21, and at that particular time, in 22, the Lord Jesus is going to be ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's got a bride. That bride was back in Genesis. God put Adam into a deep sleep, and he made out of Adam a woman, and he brought that woman to Adam, and Adam accepted that woman as bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. The Lord Jesus, the last Adam, was put in a deep sleep on the cross. He died on the cross. And out of that, out of his side, if we could use that same language, he formed a church, and he brought those believers to Christ, and they are here in Revelation chapter 21. That's the city we're talking about. Verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse number 9, and the latter part of verse 9, one of the angels said, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Creation started with a man and a woman, a bride. Creation is going to be completed with another man and another woman. Now, there's no doubt when God formed Genesis, what he had in mind in Genesis, he was looking beyond that. And there's no doubt in my mind that the first Adam was made, in some sense, a model of the last Adam. Though Christ was many years after as a man, yet God had Christ in mind, because he made man in his own image. Christ is the image of God. He made man after his own likeness. Christ is the likeness of God. So man was made to represent and manifest God in creation. And Christ is not only the creator, but he's the expressed image of the invisible God that we cannot see. He's made like God. He is God, but in humanly speaking, he made like God. So it ends like it begins, only it ends in a very perfect way. The first Adam was sinless, but the second Adam was more than sinless. He was incapable of sinning. Impeccable is the word it used, beyond sinning. It means that he could not sin. Though he was in a human form with a human nature and some sense human weaknesses, he could get hungry, he could get tired, he could get grieved and so on. Yet he was impeccable. He could not sin. The first man could sin and did sin, but God never made him that way. He gave him a choice, and he wanted man to exercise that choice in the right course. Psalm chapter 69 verse 4 says that the Lord Jesus died on the cross that he might restore that which he took not away. And he's restoring it all. And what we read about in the last couple of chapters of the Bible is how through redemption he's restoring all that was lost in creation. Adam was the head of that old creation. He fouled it up, as it were. But Christ is the head of the new creation. And what was lost in the first will be restored in the last one. So may the Lord help us to see how God's purpose of creation will be completed. And not as creator as much as the Redeemer. Through the blood of his cross, in Colossians 1:20, says he died to reconcile all things, not just people, but all things unto God. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy great wisdom. Oh, the depth of both the wisdom and the knowledge of our God, who has been His counselor. And we ever thank Thee that Thou dost have purposes in creating things to begin with. And we thank Thee that though that man is corrupted and brought a curse upon Thy creation everywhere, we ever thank Thee that that curse has been dealt with and will eventually be removed, and that Thy original purposes will be completed. Thank Thee that Thou art the sovereign God. Thou art able to do this, and Thou art going to do it. And we ever pray to help us to be mindful of Thy purposes, that we might be working together with Thee in fulfilling those purposes. So we ask Thy blessing upon each of us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.